We have got a lot coming up on Phoenix FM today, including now we are finding out about something happening in just a couple of weeks' time at Brentwood Cathedral, when it's going to be filled with music composed by the legendary British composer Edward Elgar. And what's happening is a number of local choirs are coming together, along with a symphony orchestra and professional soloists, for the 25th Brentwood Choirs Festival. And to find out more right now, I'm joined by the festival's chair, David Worsfold, along with somebody who was there right at the beginning, David Bryce. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, we'll talk in just a little while about what it is that you're going to be performing in a couple of weeks' time. But first, tell us a little bit about the history of the festival itself. David, do you want to do that? You're the chair.
Yes. Yeah. I came together 1991, 25 years ago, and it coincided with the opening of the new Brentwood Cathedral, which provided a venue in the town for performing some of the great choral works. Obviously, the only other alternative in the town at the time was the Brentwood Centre, and that's a bit like performing in a barn, of course. So the cathedral gave us the opportunity to bring together a number of local choirs so that they could perform things that were bigger than they could manage from within their own resources, and that was the prime motivation for it.
So how many choirs were involved then, and how many are involved now?
It was actually founded as the Five Choirs Festival. There were five choirs involved originally, and funny enough, we have five choirs involved in the performance this time. They're not actually entirely the same five choirs, because over 25 years these things change a bit, but it's a coming together of five different choral forces.
And music goes back a long way before that in Brentwood. David, you've been, I was going to be quite rude then, I was going to say you've been around for quite a long while, but you've been involved with music in the town for quite some time.
Yes, Brentwood Choral Society was founded in 1941, in fact, by my father, during the war years, when the government were interested in getting activities going to take people's minds off other things going on outside the country, of course. He started in 1941, and we got going, and we've just celebrated our 75th anniversary last year. So we are the oldest going choral society in the locality, certainly.
That's quite some achievement. So what do you actually get involved with apart from the festival every year?
Well, we do two or three annual big concerts every year, plus a Christmas one and a summer season one, so we're pretty active throughout the year.
David, you said there are five choirs involved with the festival. Who are they?
Well, Brentwood Choral Society, of course. There's Ingatestone Choral Society, which was founded in the late 1940s,
okay,
and has been one of the members of the Choirs Festival ever since it started. Billericay Choral Society, another quite well-established local choir. There's Bravissima, which is a ladies' choir high-quality ladies' choir that was started about 10 years ago by Julia Wilson-James, who's one of the soloists in the concert. And then, of course, the Brentwood Cathedral Choir itself, who will provide the semi-chorus for the work that we're performing.
And I guess that there's quite a lot in terms of rehearsals with the choirs coming together before the performance, is there?
Yes, it is. I mean, as you might imagine, a choirs festival is logistically quite a challenge, because all the choirs have their own rehearsal nights and they rehearse the work themselves, but then you have to bring them together to make sure that you have a coherent performance, that everyone's performing the work in the same way. And the Dream of Gerontius, which we're performing, is logistically a very complex work. It has actually three different choruses in it, a double chorus and a semi-chorus, so bringing them all together and rehearsing them together is really very important.
It sounds like quite a task you've taken on there as the chair. Are the choirs similar in terms of size and the sorts of things that they do individually, or are there challenges in terms of variations between the different choirs and bringing them together for a single performance?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question. I think the three choral societies, Ingate Stone, Brentwood and Billericay, are probably quite similar in terms of their size and their repertoire. And so, you know, they're roughly in the same sort of place. They're of a similar standard. I'm not going to name, I'm going to pick on anyone in particular, but, you know, they come and go in terms of who you would say is you know, really on form. Yes. At any one time, because, you know, these things do ebb and flow over the years. Bravissima, the ladies' choir, are, you know, they are just a female choir. They are, and they are a high quality choir. And then, of course, the Brentwood Cathedral Choir performs together every Sunday, performs a very wide range of liturgical music, and by the nature of it being a cathedral choir, is partially professional.
What sort of people join a choir? I mean, does it attract a wide variety of people? I mean, obviously you've got to be passionate about music. I mean, do you have to be able to read music?
I don't think you do. Now, I mean, some of the conductors may sometimes wish they had more people that could read music better. But, you know, the three choral societies that form the bedrock of the Choirs Festival, I think they would all welcome anybody who can sing, who feels they want to sing. We've all seen the sort of things that Gareth Malone has done on the television, bringing together groups of people who surprise themselves about what they can achieve when they sing together. And that's one of the great things about being in a choir, is making music together. And it's a wonderfully transferable skill, because there are choirs everywhere. You can travel anywhere in the world and you can find a choir to join. So it's something I think that anyone that can sing, and if you sing in the shower, in the morning, in the bath, then you can probably have a go at it. And there are not, people want to sing with other people, and they will help those new people through the rehearsals and make sure that that they find their way through the music and everything. It's a great sharing experience.
And David Bryce, I guess your father was a real inspiration to you. You've presumably sung all your life.
Oh yes, indeed. He got me singing at a very early age, and in the early years we had a section from the Brentwood School and from the girls' high school as well, so we had a good spread of age ranges. Now it tends to be older people and so on, but I would say three things. A, music is a hobby for life. It's something that stays with you. Sportsmen can burn themselves out in the 40s and so on, but it's with you all the time. And look at the age of some of our professional conductors. Secondly, it's very good discipline and so on. People like it. There's not much discipline around these days, but singing, the discipline of singing in a choir does appeal to many people.
Yeah.
And, yes.
You have to work together.
It's a hobby for life. So, yes, keep going. And we're keenly looking out for new singers. Anybody wants to have a go? You don't have to read music. You can pick it up, come along and give us a go.
And I guess it can be something that can really give people confidence as well, can help people.
Absolutely. And a good fit, a good medical reason for joining choirs as well. It's a good discipline, keeps your body healthy and so on.
And David W., you were telling me off air that it can be quite good from a mental point of view as well.
Yes, it is. There's been some quite good research recently. To show that when it comes to older people in particular, with sort of the neurological deterioration that older people can experience, put a label on it, Alzheimer's, dementia, that singing actually is one of those activities that slows down that neurological deterioration. Plus, also it has benefit of helping you just with simple things like posture and breathing. It makes you use your lungs and breathe better. So, there are some quite well-established medical reasons for keeping singing well into late into life.
A lot of benefits and a great social thing as well. Look, that is absolutely fascinating. So hopefully, you know, we're being a little bit inspirational here in maybe encouraging people to find out about some of the ways that they can get involved. Obviously, a lot of talent and a lot of opportunities in our area. Very keen to find out about the festival itself. It's in 2 weeks' time at the Cathedral, the Dream of Gerontius, which you referred to a little bit earlier, David. We do need to take a break first, though.
Phoenix FM.
Alan Johnson with the Feel Good Saturday, just gone 25 past 10. You're with Phoenix FM, and we're talking about the Brentwood Choirs Festival, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks' time at Brentwood Cathedral. Going to be chatting some more with the two Davids about it in just a moment. But before we do that, I want to get a tiny flavour of the sort of thing that people can expect to hear with just a couple of short excerpts from the performance that the five choirs are going to be putting on, The Dream of Gerontius, starting with part of a piece by The Angel, performed here by Sarah Connolly with the Boston Symphony Orchestra.
Oh.
Just a very brief clip from Jesu Maria, sung by Wesley Rogers as Gerontius, along with the UC Davis Symphony Orchestra. And before that, part of Softly and Gently, Dearly Ransomed Soul, performed by Sarah Connolly with the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Both works from The Dream of Gerontius, which is being performed in a couple of weeks' time at Brentwood Cathedral for the Brentwood Choirs Festival. And I'm chatting at the moment with the chair of the festival, David Worsfield, along with David Bryce from Brentwood Choral Society. David B, I'm going to call you, because it's always difficult when you have two people with the same name. Those two very brief excerpts we've heard there from the work that's going to be performed at the festival, The Dream of Gerontius by Edward Elgar, wasn't it? Tell us a little bit about the background to it. It's originally based on a poem.
Well, it was a late work by Sir Edward Elgar. It's a setting of a poem by Cardinal Newman about the last hours of a very old man. It's a very powerful poem, and the music is equally powerful.
Got a flavour of it there, actually, just very briefly.
When first performed about 110 years ago, it wasn't popular. It was really felt too powerful at the time, but we've since got used to it, and the fact that the music is so powerful and it is highly emotional and so on, so it is regarded as the main challenge from choral societies to sing, and so that's why it's such a wise choice for this 25-year celebration.
David W, how did The Dream of Gerontius come to be the work that was chosen for this 25th anniversary festival?
Well, it was really quite simple. The very first concert the Choirs Festival did in the cathedral in 1991, they performed The Dream of Gerontius, so it seemed very logical to return to that. As David Bryce said, it's a phenomenally powerful work. It's right up there in terms of works that challenge choral societies and stretch them. I mean, they have to change themselves from being angels to demons part of the way through the work. So they have to sort of jump from one psyche to another. And that generates some very exciting music. So it's a fantastic piece. But yeah, it just seemed logical. It was the first work they performed. So we thought we would do it again.
It's a dramatic performance as well as a musical performance, isn't it, really? You're putting a lot of emotion into it, I guess.
Yes, there is, yes. Yes, I mean, you really... I mean, it's one of the great things about performing as a choir. You do have to believe that you are what the music says you are. If it says you're an angel, you have to sing sweetly. If it says you're a demon, you have to be terrifying. Otherwise, you don't get the full impact. Mm. And you know, that's what we've been working on. And I mean, the sound we had at the last joint rehearsal last week was just so exciting. I think it really is going to be a thrilling performance.
Ed, you're really excited about this, I can tell, and with very good reason. Now, obviously, the five choirs and choral societies are absolutely central to the festival, but they obviously couldn't do it without an orchestra and some professional soloists as well.
Yes, indeed. We are so lucky with the soloists. The main part, the tenor part, Gerontius himself, is going to be sung by Robert Murray. And we are really just so lucky to get Robert. Robert actually started his musical career as a chorister at Brentwood Cathedral. He is now well established as an international opera singer and oratorio singer right across Europe. He performs just everywhere. I mean, trying to get hold of him is a nightmare. But he is coming back to Brentwood to perform this with us. And he is, that's fantastic. The Angel is going to be sung by Julia Wilson-James, who is very well known to anyone that attends concerts in the Brentwood and Essex area. She sings with the Brentwood Cathedral Choir, and she is the soloist who has sung the most with the Brentwood Choirs Festival over the years. And then there's a bass part who has to play two characters. One, he's a priest, and then he is called the Angel of the Agony in the second part. And that's going to be sung by Roderick Earle, who sang that part in the first performance 25 years ago, and he's since also gone on to have a career in opera around the world, and he's coming back to Brentwood to sing with us again. The soloists are just going to be brilliant.
And the orchestra?
The orchestra again has a local connection. It's actually, it's called the Elm Symphony Orchestra, which is the ex-London Music Students Symphony Orchestra. And it was pulled together a few years ago by a chap called Martin Ray, who was born and brought up in Brentwood, went to Brentwood School, sang with the choir in the cathedral when he was a boy, and went off and studied music at the London colleges, and decided that a way of keeping all his friends together when they finished was to form an orchestra, which is what he did. And they, I mean, many of them now play with the major London orchestras, but they come together to perform with us in Brentwood every about twice a year, and again they're brilliant.
And David B, the venue, the cathedral is obviously absolutely central to the choirs festival as well. That must sort of really make something.
Absolutely, it's based there, and that is the premier performance place for such events and so on. It's a centre of music in Essex, certainly.
What about acoustics? I mean, David referred to the Brentwood Centre, and you know, we're not knocking the Brentwood Centre. It's great for so many things, but in terms of obviously the whole atmosphere, but from an acoustic point of view, obviously with a musical work, that's something that's very important. How does that fit in with the cathedral?
Well, a little bit of a problem there. It is vastly over-resonant. It's a magnificent building full of candelabra and so on. Somebody said it's the perfect setting for a Mozart opera and so on, but it does tend to be over-resonant. And that's another reason for us wanting to see every seat occupied, because that helps solve some of the over-resonance.
There's not going to be any problem, though, David, with filling the seats.
Well, we certainly hope not. And as David says, you kill the resonance by selling the tickets and having an audience to absorb the sound. We very much hope that we will fill every seat for this performance. As I said, the quality of soloists, orchestra and choirs is just going to be superb.
And talking of tickets, how are they? How can people get... How much are they?
There are two price ranges. There's reserve seats at £20, unreserved at £15, and there will be some restricted view tickets at lower prices. And anyone in full-time education can come for £5, because we love to see young people coming and enjoying such great music in such a wonderful setting.
And I guess you'd like to see people who perhaps don't normally listen to classical music, to you know, wouldn't normally go to an opera, perhaps people who just want to try something a little bit different to what they would normally do.
Yes, we would. And I mean, people think that they see something, it's an evening of choral music with a symphony orchestra and soloists, and somehow they find that intimidating. This is, as David Bryce said, this is a great story, that there is a powerful narrative that goes all the way through this, and it's told so vividly through the music that it's just thrilling. The sound is thrilling, the story is engaging, and the narrative is powerful. And I think if you've listened to a bit of music on the radio, if you like some of Elgar's music, anything like, come and try it. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised.
And I'm sure it'll be an absolutely tremendous atmosphere. David, time has got the better of us, but thank you so much for coming in this morning. Oh, I nearly forgot. There was just something else you wanted to give a plug to. Another concert coming up in December.
Yes, well, just to follow up your point about, can people come and do anything? One of the other concerts I'm organising in the cathedral, 3rd of December, is a Come and Sing Messiah. Again, we've got part of the Elms Orchestra, so we've got professional orchestra, professional soloists, but this is an opportunity for people to come along and sing something that maybe they remember singing some of the bits, the Alleluia chorus or something at school. It's all in the cup. If you want to try it, if you think, gosh, I'd really like to get back into it, I'd really like to try it, this is actually a great opportunity. We've already got 80 people signed up for the choir for that day, which is a tremendous number for something like this.
So you literally turn up on the day?
Yes. I go onto the Brentwood Cathedral website, and if you go down to music, you'll find a link to the information about it. We'd like people to book before the day. It just costs £10, and we can lend you a score, so you don't have to worry about anything like that. There's a rehearsal at 2 o'clock, and then a full performance at 7 o'clock in the cathedral on Saturday, the 3rd of December. So if you did Messiah at school, if you think, God, I really enjoyed that, I'd love to get back into it, this is a fantastic opportunity. That's, you'll be with a lot of other people doing exactly the same thing.
That's an amazing opportunity, and obviously you're looking for people to come and absorb the sound as well.
Oh, absolutely,
as part of the audience.
Yes.
As well, and enjoy that. Tremendous stuff. David, do keep up the excellent work that you're both doing locally, and come back and visit us at Phoenix again soon.
Love to.
Phoenix FM.
That's David Worsfold, who is chair of the Brentwood Choirs Festival, along with David Bryce from the Brentwood Choral Society, talking about the Brentwood Festival of Choirs, which is taking place in the Cathedral 2 weeks today, Saturday the 12th of November. Full details of that are up on their website, brentwoodchoirs.org.uk, including how you can get tickets. And that performance of Handel's Messiah is taking place again in the Cathedral Saturday the 3rd of December, and you have an opportunity to take part as well. There'll be a rehearsal in the afternoon, so if you want to go along either as part of the audience or as part of the choir, do put that date into your diary.